This was largely an assignment, and I realize that it is something that not many of us see much need for. I mean, what's hard about aviation? And it's basically common sense and the golden rule, I guess. That's what we all ought to think about it. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The problem is there's some other variations of the golden rule that come into play, such as do unto others before they do unto you. That's one of their variations. There's another that says those who have the gold make the rule, which has to do with the checkbook power in mediation. And so in this context, then, it becomes apparent that maybe there is a need for ethics, because that's certainly our Supreme Court has decided that there is a need for ethics in this regard. And for this purpose, this paper caused me to look up and realize that there's quite a lot of authority, actually, on the subject of mediation and ethics. And there are materials available to everyone that probably most of us don't look at very much, even active mediators. But the Supreme Court, and you, what I've done to, in terms of a paper you'll find in the materials, is basically list out those materials. The ethical guidelines for mediators, promulgated in 2005 by the Supreme Court and amended in 2011, really have very detailed provisions that address situations that arise in mediation. Guidelines to the mediators, but they guide the parties as well. I'll talk about some of those today in the course of that, along with some other materials that exist out there. But the summary of the materials, it's the first page of the material there. It looks like a table of contents, but it's really got some substance to it. The first one are just anecdotes, my comments that I've accumulated over the years. When I leave a mediation with Ken and I have something on my mind that I wasn't quite satisfied about, I write a little paragraph. Well, those have been accumulated over these years, and so that's item one. But the actual Supreme Court orders are item two in the material, and they justify your attention. It's in very fine print, and we're going to talk about the details now, but that's a real document that you need to take a look at. The rules of evidence that provide the privilege of a mediation session, those are familiar rules in both the federal and state rules. There are actually three published state bar ethics opinions having to deal with mediation. Didn't know that till I started the paper. But there are, one of which is important to everyday practice in that it does authorize ethically mediators to prepare a memorandum of the result of the mediation. Not the full release and dismissal orders that you'll prepare when you get back to your office, but the mediated settlement agreement, the memorandum of what's agreed there, where you get both sides to sign on the dotted line and so nobody changes their mind, that can be prepared by the mediator. It's not the practice of law to do that. Mediators are not permitted to give legal advice in the course of a mediation. That's one of the ethical standards. But you can prepare the memorandum of what's happened that day, or help prepare it, or make suggestions about what should go into it, which is now documented in a 2018 ethics opinion, and that's included in the materials. So the answer to the first, number five on that list, is yes. The answer to the other two, about whether a mediator can mediate a divorce and then write up the papers, uncontested divorce, the answer is no. Mustn't do that. That's practicing law, giving advice. And may a mediator accept representation in a dispute that survives the mediation after the mediation's over, same parties or same law firms? Again, the answer is no, mustn't do that. This impairs the privileged information. But having said that, then, a lot of this material, the reasons those answers come out that way, are in our statute, the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, about mediation and impartiality and mediated settlement agreement and confidentiality. These are all included in the materials. They're available there for reference. But to talk about the common sense aspects of things, and to get back to what we should expect of each other and of mediators, the Supreme Court went out of its way to include in its enabling order, issued those guidelines, a statement that counsel representing parties, this is a quotation, counsel representing parties in the mediation of a pending case remain officers of the court in the same manner as if appearing in court. But you shouldn't do anything in mediation you couldn't do in front of the judge, that you're in front of the courtroom. If you're going to show some attitude, or you're going to push the boundaries of what you really think you ought to say, you shouldn't. Just as if you're in court, it's the standard to which you are held. We sometimes honor that more in the breach than in the practice, but that's what happens. That's what the standards are. That means there are expectations regarding decorum and civility and honesty, and the Supreme Court expressly referred in that same enabling order to the Texas Lawyers' Creed, which was promulgated, I guess, 12 or 15 years ago also, about or more. Must have been more because it was mentioned in 05. And so that, again, elevates the standard to which practice should occur in mediation. Not any different than the courtroom, but at least as good as in the courtroom.